Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 14.
Proverbs 14:14. And if you can, we'd ask you to stand as we read God's word tonight. Proverbs 14:14. You know, it's good to hear the rustling of the pages when you turn it off there. That's good. Amen. I've got a lot of Bibles, and I know some Bibles I have marked in certain places, and I got other Bibles I marked in certain places. Dr. Hiles had a few Bibles, and he had certain subjects he'd preach out of this one, certain subjects he'd preach out of that one, and kind of interesting. Glad to have your Bible. Aren't you glad you got a Bible? Man, just something about having that Bible in your hand. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Let's read that again together. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Father, I pray tonight you'd speak to our hearts. Help us more be more like you. We love you, Lord, and we want to certainly stay away from that thing called backslider. Lord, help us to give ourselves more to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was watching the presidential debate last week, and the subject kept coming up, and kind of thought of it. I remember even when President Reagan was saying, he said, "Are you better today than you were last year?" You know. And I thought of that, and it really stuck my heart as I was thinking about this. I thought, you know, as a Christian, are we better off today than we were yesterday? Are we doing more for God than we did? I spoke about this morning about metamorphism as in our Christian life. We are converted. We're supposed to be getting better and better and better. I told somebody, they asked me, said, "Boy, that's really something about that pill morning dun, that little worm that looks like a stick that comes out and be the most beautiful dragonfly." And I said, "You know, you don't understand that worm is continually turning in the current. It must be one dizzy worm, amen." And I thought to myself, I said, "Boy," and somebody said that to me. I said, "Yes, they do not stop tumbling until they metamorphose when they come out and be in that." They're always in turmoil, always tumbling. And I thought, boy, isn't that like life? Seems like we're always rolling downhill, amen? Just tumbling down and down and down and down, can't stop. Just seems like we grab a hold of one root, that root breaks off, and we go down to the next one, amen? So are you better off tonight as you were last year as a Christian? Can you say that you have a better prayer life? Can you say you have a better family life? Can you say you have a better? Are you tithing? Are you giving? Are you giving more to missions? Are you telling more people about Jesus Christ? You passing more tracts now? Or you say, "Well, no, really, preacher, I'm not." Well, the Christian life is like riding a bicycle. When you stop, you either get off or you fall off. I mean, it's just the way it is. I got that great big old Harley of mine, and I practice all the time. See how I can get it. I never like to put my feet down to get at when the light turns, you know, and so I'm just you can't do it. I just can't do it. I've seen some motor cops, they can just almost sit there when the bike is just stopped. And they're not me, man. I must have jiggle in me or something because it started going. And I had to put my foot out. Hey, man. You know, Christian life is like that. You got to keep going. Once I got that thing going, she just stays where she's at. I mean, I can take both hands off the handles and go right down the road with the thing. I don't do that. I don't like doing that. But if I had to put a glove on or something like that, I do that. But in a Christian life, not too much freewheeling. Amen. A lot of stuff that goes on in life. And so the question I ask you tonight is, are you backslidden? Have you slid back from the promise that you've given God? You say, I don't like that kind of sermon. Well, I don't really like it either, but I want to be reminding you, because if I don't remind you, God will get after me, and so I don't want him to get after me, so I'll just plan on to preach to you, and you take what you want, and you leave what the rest. Amen. It's kind of like going, one man says, church is like a buffet. You go in and you take what you want, leave the rest. Amen. Well, that's not really what you're supposed to do. But you also, when you go to a buffet, you're not supposed to spit on things you don't like. Thank you. I just leave that with your thought. Amen. It's Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14. The backslider in heart. I can't tell whether you're backsliding or not. Now, I can get a pretty good example. I see that you're not hitting every service, and I see you're kind of sliding in and sliding out, and first one, you're the last one in and the first one out, and you know, you don't fellowship with anybody, and all of a sudden you see you start sliding. I understand that. I got it. Okay. But where are you at tonight? The word backslide definitely has a haunting ring to it. Most people chagrin and tighten when they hear that the name of Judas or the word hypocrite is mentioned. People kind of get a little jumpy about that. Backslider is like bad breath. Most people won't tell you that you have it, but they'll avoid you. Amen. Solomon advises that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. It is so important that we realize that a backslider is one who has lost his fellowship and lost his salvation. Salvation is permanent. Salvation is everlasting. Once a person accepts Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, you can't fall out of salvation. No more than your children can say, well, you're not my dad anymore. It doesn't work that way. You'll always be his child. But there is certainly things about backsliding. It is so important that we realize that backsliding is a lost fellowship. We lose that fellowship with our Lord Jesus. But he or she has not lost the joy of their happiness and not the spirit. You haven't lost the spirit either. You just lost your joy and happiness. Because you are filled with your own ways and you want to do it your way, and your way or the highway. You find this a lot of times in homes. That happens in home. Either you do it their way or else. And there's always a power struggle there. I think the Lord Jesus Christ takes good care of that over in Ephesians about how the home ought to be run. When King David sinned so grievously, yet he finally came to himself after the preacher came knocking while weeping. What did he pray? He said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. There's just something about falling away. There's just something about getting away from the family of God. He did not pray for his salvation to return. But that his joy of his salvation would be restored. Look for a moment at the prodigal son. He was still the father's son. He was restored to the fellowship of home when he returned. He went out and spent his everything he had on riotous living after he found out that didn't pay very good, and found out that after buying everybody else's stuff, they were happy to take it and leave it. Leave him, and when he got to himself, he finds himself in a pig pen feeding pigs, and the Bible said he'd feigned or he desired to eat what the pigs were eating. Then he came to himself, and he said, you know, my daddy's got a whole bunch of servants back there. My dad takes good care of his servants. They got plenty to eat. They got plenty to wear. What in the world am I doing here? I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my dad, and I'm going to ask my dad to forgive me, and then I'll ask him, Dad, make me one of your servants. He came. He understood, didn't he? He came to himself. A lot of people have come to themselves. My daddy used to say, we're going to have a come to meeting, son. Yeah. Simon Peter experienced terrible plague of backsliding. It all started when he became self-confident and boasting. I'll never forsake you, he said to the Lord. I'll never forsake you. I've learned a long time ago, never say never. I've done a lot of things that I said I'd never do. And Peter said, I will never forsake you, Lord. He was next seen following afar off. There you go right now. Following the Lord afar off. Soon warming his hand with the enemy fire. He got a lot of company. He's got a lot of company today, doesn't he? Amen. A lot of people running with the wrong crowd. Old Scottish woman said, Peter had a business among the flunkies. He had no business among the flunkies, she said. That reminds me of the story of the old parrot who got loose and flew in the cornfield with a bunch of crows. When the farmer began to shoot the crows, he happened to shoot the parrot and wounded him. While picking up the dead crows, he saw the beautiful wounded parrot and picked him up, and the parrot said, "Wah! Wah! Bad company! Bad company!" When a person lies down with dogs, he likely gets up with fleas. That's why I always put a new flea collar on. Anyway, Peter got with a bad company. He distanced himself from the Lord's presence. Soon, in result, cursing and swearing. It doesn't take you long. It doesn't take people long to get away from God, does it? Doesn't take long, and all of a sudden you're in. And there is no possible way you can come back exactly where you were. You always get nicked. You always get cut. You always get burned. You always get scarred. There are a lot of people that really want to serve God, and they get at it and get it, and all of a sudden they get a little frustrated. Something happens in their life. You know, guess who's doing that to them? Satan trying to. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's after you. He tries everything he can to get you on the outskirts because he knows that he can tantalize you so bad. And he knows that when you do something wrong, he finally fires back at you and says, "See, I told you, you didn't love God anyway. Look at what you've done." And then he said, boy, those people at Heritage Baptist Church, they won't love you. They won't forgive you. Boy, they'll just point their finger. They'll gossip about you and talk about you. It happens. That's a lie from hell. You let somebody walk in this door that's been away from God, and goes, I'll tell you what, there'll be a group of us people right there shaking their hands and say, hey, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Glad you're here, without question. Never been that way. But I'll tell you what, I've been preaching for 47 years, and I'll tell you what, every church I've ever pastored, every church I've ever been to, I hear the same thing. Well, so-and-so left, and they won't come back because they cannot swallow their pride, and they cannot say, you know what, I was wrong. And so the foolishness of it is, it's not that they hurt themselves, but also it helps, it hurts the fellowship of Heritage Baptist Church. It hurts their family, their children, and whoever else they'd hurt. You know, when you sin, you're not an island to yourself. We carry a whole bunch of people with us. Achan stole the garment. Stole the money. What happened to him? Not only did it happen to him, but it happened to his wife and his children, and his family, the whole family were destroyed because of that. Peter left the Lord. He went back to the fishing business. I have no problem with fishing business. I like to go fishing. But that's not my business. My business is fishing for men, amen. But there's nothing wrong to go out and catch a few fish. Nothing wrong with jumping on your motorcycle and go to Glacier. Man, I picked the best day. I'll tell you what, that was magnificent. You work hard, you ought to play hard. You work, you ought to do. You ought to get at it. Do what you can. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your family, amen. It's sad when a man quits the preaching business, go back to fishing business. You got to remember that Peter was in the inner circle of Jesus. Peter, James, and John. You always hear him. Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John for 3.5 years. Peter, James, and John. And all of a sudden, he said, "Well, I go fishing." And what did his buddy say? "We go with you." Influence several others the same. That's when Jesus, when he rose from the grave and met them at the Sea of Galilee, and he said, "Hey, you have any fish?" "No, fished all night, didn't get nothing." He said, "Well, come here, I got something. Come and dine." And that's when he said, "Peter, you love me?" Oh, I just grips my heart every time I read that. "Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me, Peter? Peter, do you really love me?" Oh, Peter got fired up. Why did you get fired up? Lord, he's the one that made the mistake. Jesus didn't make. Amen. That's like Jesus says, "Hey, I'm going to be crucified, and then I'm going back to the Father." And they get in a big fight. Well, who's going to sit next to you? I'm sure Jesus really appreciated that, don't you think? All the things he was going through, all the heartaches he was going through, the anguish that he knows he's going to go into, and they're fighting now. Who's going to sit next to him at the throne? You know, sometimes we Christians, we got some, you know, our lines get crossed. We forget really what we're supposed to be doing. Someday, after so much, they figured it out. You fathers, think how you influence your little boys and little girls. They'll figure it out someday. They'll figure it out pretty quick. You've not only lost your children for this generation, but you're losing your heritage. Church is not important. Baseball game is more important. Basketball game is more important. Volleyball is more important. Soccer. I came out of here and it just broke my heart. I bet you there's over 1,000 kids out there playing soccer today. And I said to myself, I wonder how many went to church today. That's their God. I don't care what anybody says, that's their God. I seen it in one of my families. Sports was everything. Well, we'll come to church if it's convenient. We don't come to church because it's convenient. We come to church because God said so. Amen? Yeah, we come to church because God said so. God tells us. Not forsaking the assembly. If you're at that point, you're backslidden. First of all, I want to guard myself from backsliding. I must be diligent to keep myself from it. And I'm going to identify some of the signs. Harry Ironside said, "If you were ever closer to the Lord than you are right now, you're backslidden." A young executive from Ford Motor Company came to his pastor one day and said, "Preacher, what's wrong with me? I don't have what I used to have." Then he admitted, "I have lost my zeal and intent, and I have become distracted and miserable because I don't serve God like I used to." There are several identifying signs that can reveal our backslidden condition. Number one, the loss of heavenly values. When the excitement of the Bible, the truths of the Bible, the things of the Bible, of God become weak in our hearts. When worldly pleasures get a grip and claim your interest and your time. When the Bible gets dull and the living is hard, then the problem is obvious. Another identification revealed backslidden loss of conviction of sin. The darkness in a restaurant is not so bad once your eyes adjust to it. The closer to sin you get, the less you think it's wrong. Well, Pastor, our kids are getting older, and we expect them to go to the prom. We expect them to go to the dance. Where'd you find that at? Hey, Tucker, when I hold my wife close to me and waltz around the living room, I have a little bit of feeling towards her more than I was just sitting across watching the football game. Now, why would I want my little girl dressed half-naked? I'm telling you, this is the way it is. Dress half-naked, waltz around a dance floor, rock and roll music, and say, it's okay, they're in high school. They're supposed to do that. No, they're not. No, they're not. You listen to me. Someday you pick up the you pick up the broken pieces. Well, this is a little friendly drink. Where'd you hear that? The Bible says abstain from all appearances of evil. Oh, preacher, you can just have a little. I said, I don't want to take any. Because I might take something that I might like and I might want to get some more. I know a guy, he was a president of a theological seminary. And someone told him, because he had a bad cold and a sore throat, just take a little drink of this brandy and it'll take care of it. He was arrested for drunk driving 3 years ago. And his boy said, well, my dad's been drinking for a long time in the closet. Something wrong with that. What do you think of your preacher to pull out a six-pack and just start tanking them down? What do you think about that? Well, let me say this. I'm no different than you are. And if you think that about bad about me, then I'm going to think bad about you doing that. Hello? Hello? You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to. Hey, Surgeon General says, don't smoke. Why? Causes cancer. And why would you smoke? Why would you put anything into this body, the Holy Spirit of God? This body is a temple, the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, read back in the Old Testament what they used to do at the temple. How careful they were to clean it. How careful they were to just do everything so spotless in there because they were afraid to offend the Holy Spirit of God. Why would you do this? The body is the temple of the living God. So if you're even starting to think about that stuff, you're backslidden. And you know, you need to ask God for holy righteousness in your life. Amen? I'm awful quiet out there tonight. I've been preaching this 47 years. I haven't changed. When I was at the First Baptist Church in Elkton, South Dakota, and we had a huge youth group, and we had the prom buster night. Or did I get in trouble with the people in town? I had badges like this my kids would wear to school, to the public school. It said, prom buster! First Baptist Church, Elkton. One boy said, hey, this has got to stop. I said, why? I said, you want your kid to go out and get drunk? Do something bad to your daughter or your son? I said, I'm trying to keep these kids away from that stuff. Oh, man, we took them to the bowling alley. We took them out. We had a big banquet. We did all kinds of stayed all up all night. Not one of my kids got drove in the ditch because they're drunk. Didn't have any little girls get pregnant. But boy, the people didn't like it. And my kids loved it. And all of a sudden, after we did the first one, the next year, some of the public school kids came to our prom buster, didn't show up for the prom. Oh, that was not good. You say, what happened next year? I don't know. I left. Came to Montana. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't care what. I used to see what went on at dances. It's not good. Not good at all. And I want my kids to live godly in an ungodly world. I don't want my children to have that kind of influence in their heart and their life. Just because they're teenagers doesn't mean they have the right to go to the prom or to dance or whatever you want to call it. or some rock and roll thing. No, I ain't going to do it. You put your stinking feet under my table, you're going to do what I say. You don't want a leg there? Hey, there's a road. You like my food, you like my loving, you like your mama's loving, you like the nice clothes we put on your back, you like the nice vehicles you get to drive. Hey, hello! He said, but Pastor, you can't raise kids that anymore. Well, I guess I'd be dead then. Well, they would be. That's the way it is. I'm going to make my children, I want my children to live right, walk right, act right. I'm going to try everything I can to get them to serve God. You know what? I got one chance. Yeah, you got one chance. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's amazing. This is what I like to tell you. Isn't it amazing that you try everything you can and you turn a kid loose in 30 minutes, they forgot everything your mom and daddy told them. They forget everything that you warned them against. And you just get them in the wrong crowd. So my suggestion is you keep everything going as best you can. Keep serving God. By the way, this morning my grandson, John, got baptized. And that makes me pretty happy. When I was a young teenager, my buddy Mike Duggan, Pat McCrary, and Bob Shepard used to ride our bikes to Edenville, Michigan to play inside a huge Wixom Lake Dam that drained into the Boise River. We would swim under these thick walls inside, and it was very dark in there, very dark. And you couldn't see a thing in there. And back in those days, we didn't have submersible flashlights either. So we got this idea to swim in there. Swim around a little bit, and all of a sudden, within 15 minutes, you could see everything, even the darkest corners in there, because your eyes, it was just dark. And you could see quite well. That's the problem sometimes. Our life gets so adjusted to this deep, dirty, filthy, vulgar, immoral world that we're living in. And we just kind of brush it off. And think that our little boys that we know that we should not look at, think that our little boys should know that they aren't supposed to look that way. When I was raising my boys, we'd see a cigarette butt on the ground. Man, I tell you what, I'd go there and stop. Smoking is bad, then jump up and down it. Boy, they'd start jump up and down. You say, what's that? Well, none of my boys smoke. See old beer bottle out there? We kick it in the ditch. Bad, bad, yeah! Ham's beard come on in Minnesota, of course. And all my boys yelling and screaming, throwing papers at the TV, amen. Bad, bad. He said, but preacher, you're just kind of crazy. I don't want my boys to drink. I seen what happened to some of my boys that died, my friends that died in high school when they were drinking. Terrible problems they got into, all kinds of crazy stuff. Boy, that stuff get a hold of you. I want to raise my kids right. And I don't want to backslide to the point that I think, well, it'll be okay. No, it won't be okay. I don't want my children to go into that stuff, and I'm sure you don't either, amen? Another identifier is laziness service. Initiative and aggressive action is the theme of the Bible Christian, whether you like it or not. God wants us to be aggressive. God wants us to be action-oriented. He wants us to be initiative. People lose that. No. I'm reminded of the influence and the illustration that I read somewhere on a tombstone on an old graveyard. It says, here rests John Brown. That's all he ever did. That's what it said, this tombstone. Here rests John Brown. That's all he ever did. Here's another one. Here lies the body of a man who did no good. And if he had lived, he never would. Where he's gone and how he fares, nobody knows, nobody cares. That's true. These are really, it's in New York too, probably. Jim probably had them put up, but anyway. Another identifying shine reveals their backsliding conditions, putting people's words ahead of God's word. Some people are persuaded more by the opinion and advice of others than the plain, clear teaching of the Word of God. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Well, my friend said, no, what's the Bible say about that? Well, you can get away with it for a while. No, what's the Bible say? They have a problem. It's called backslidden condition. Thus saith the Lord God, if the Bible says it, you ought to do what the Bible says. By the way, you have to read your Bible to find out what the Bible says. This is you come to church on Sunday morning, and you get a half hour. This morning, I think it was pretty close to 40 minutes, but anyway. Or you come tonight, and you get about a half hour. We're not even a half hour preaching yet. And that's all you get come Wednesday night. 30 minutes. That's all you get. But I will tell you something. If I just ate on Sunday morning and a Sunday night and Wednesday night, I'd be pretty skinny. I know that'd probably be a good idea. But I'd lose a lot of weight. I wouldn't be healthy. I wouldn't be strong. I wouldn't be vibrant. And that's the way Christian life is. Hey, if you don't pick up your Bible in the morning, you're backslidden. If you don't pick it up at night sometime, you don't read some scriptures and encourage yourself in the Lord, you're in trouble. I was going to do a plan thing like they did. Maybe someday I will, but Foxworthy, you know, he says, you know you're a redneck if. I was going to say, you know you're backslidden if. I could give you quite a few. Amen. You lose your testimony. Loss of testimony. We are to let our light shine before men. Man's Christian character is like a tree. Is the testimony, is its shadow. It all depends on his relationship with the Lord. Years ago, an old evangelist was having a street meeting. Several men were given testimonies of the joy of the Lord in their life and how they'd got saved and how they were serving the Lord. And several churches were representative. And a leader asked the man standing on the edge of the crowd if he'd give a testimony. He bluntly said, I beg you to be excused. I don't have a testimony. No kidding. Unfortunately, yes, you do. We all have testimonies. We know who you are. We know what you do. We know how you act and how you react. You have a testimony. That's your testimony. A lot of others have one either. They just don't realize it, but they have a testimony. I hear a lot of people say, hey, Pastor, can you recommend me to a job? Can you give me a job reference? Huh?
Letter of recommendation.
What do you want me to do, lie? I'm your preacher. I suppose now nobody will ask me to write you a deal. I told one person, a young lady in my church, she asked for it. I said, sure. They called me up, what about her? I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. If I had the money, I'd hired her yesterday. I said, that girl is something else. She loves the Lord, and she's clean, and she's neat, and she's always on time, and, you know, and if I ask to do something, she does it. She said, that's all I need. Thank you, Pastor. Girl got the job the next day. You all have testimonies. Number two, I want to take you to look into the cause of backsliding. Sin for the Christian literally is falling into two categories, one omission and one commission. One leads to the other. Most of the cause of our backsliding is sin of omission. God tells us we're not to have evil thoughts. Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not think on a maid. I will not think on a maid. So I won't do it. I won't look at her. Somebody said to me the other day, he said, well, Pastor, didn't you know? I said, no, I don't look there. I look at the eyes. It's all the farther I go. I'm sorry, I just thought I got eyes for one little lady, and she's sitting in the back there that loves me dearly. Hi, Marcia. I embarrassed her. She goes, yeah, I don't need anything else. Don't want anything else. Good night. Give me 47 years of wonderful, wonderful love and bliss. And what more do you want? Good night. Well, I want to pick up something with some old... Oh, never mind. When a person's heart is not pure, he begins to think evil. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Paul tells the Philippians, says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The Christian should do well if he posted a guard at the door and a guard at the window of his mind, lest that which entereth into a man defile him. I want to be careful for that. I want to be real careful about even thinking. I don't want to be careful about my worldly attitude. Well, everybody else is doing it. I want to be very careful about that. You want to be careful about your worldly attitude. The problem is not just in the things, involvement, and the pleasures. The attitude towards the spirit, worldliness, must be alerted to. We want to be careful. I don't want to go that way. Also, the root of bitterness. My evil thinking. Our worldly attitude. Root of bitterness. How sad to see a bitter person. They're usually slammed the door on a lot of people who love them and are concerned for them. They're bitter. You can't do nothing with them. The Bible says that the bitterness is worse than a canker, and canker means cancer. Oh, the misery of heart filled with grudge and unforgiving spirit. Hey, get over it. You're not hurting them. You're hurting yourself. People say bad things. Just leave it alone. I think I have a word for that, let alone Dwayne. Leave it alone. Just leave it alone. It don't do you no good. You carry it and carry it and carry it. I had a guy in South Dakota. I saw him at their 125th church reunion. And he came up to me. His name was Packinen. And he came up to me and he said, preacher, he says, I know that you really were so mad at me and didn't. I just want you to forgive me. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, I says, I don't know, I don't even remember that. He says, you mean to tell me for 25 years I've been holding this and wanting to get a hold of you and you didn't even... I said, no, I can't live like that. I said, you had a choice? Choice? Hey, God bless you, brother. I believe in free will. Free will, I said, free will. I believe in free will. You have a choice. You want to love me? Fine. If you don't want to love me, fine. Feel sorry for you. I love you, man. And I did. I loved the family. Took all their kids out of our church, man. And that just broke my heart. But I never felt ill will of the guy. For 25 years, he held that in his heart. And when I said that, he just about buckled to his knees. His knees about buckled. He said, you got to be kidding me. I said, no. Man, I love you. I said, if you would have came back the next week, I'd been so happy. Or the next week, or the next week, or the next week. Then I moved. So I don't hold that stuff. I can't hold that stuff. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. I cannot do that. I won't do it. I refuse to do it. Then there's also the self-centeredness. And I'm just about done here. Hang on. Prayerlessness. Dr. Ravenhill said, if we are not praying, we're playing. A spiritual, victorious person will delight to talk to God in prayer and will do it at every possible opportunity. I'm sorry I have to go back to this, but I've ridden that motorcycle. It was so windy coming up to Browning. Man, it was windy. That big old bike, and that bike just doesn't shake in wind, but it was windy. And I pulled into Browning, and I stopped at a place, and they were closed. I was going to buy Charlotte something from the Indian place there. And so I just got on and drove through town, and I got over to East Glacier, and all of a sudden, there wasn't a stitch of wind. And I mean, a tear came in my eye. I said, dear God, I've never seen it like this before. And I went through that park, And I turned around at McDonald's. When I got there, McDonald Lodge there in the Mount Donald Lake, there wasn't even a shimmer. You've seen it. Some of you have seen it in the picture. There wasn't even a shimmer in that water. It was just a perfect mirror. And it would just, and you smell the aspens and the pines, and oh, my goodness, it just smells amazing. Boy, I said, oh, God, you've let me do this again. I just can't imagine. I was so grateful. I was praising the whole name all through the park. I praised it. Hey, that'll keep you from bitterness. I wanted to say, doggone it, how come somebody didn't come with me? How come I have to go up there alone? No, no, man, praise the Lord. You know, you get a chance. Just do it. Do something. Sometimes it's good to be alone. Sorry. One preacher said, I love to preach, and I'll preach at the drop of a hat. If necessary, I'll drop the hat. That should be with our desire to serving God. Lord, I just want to serve you. And I'll serve you at the drop of a hat. In fact, I'll take my old hat off and serve you. Serving the Lord. Hey, this week, will you do this? Rekindle your fire for God. Stop your backsliding and say, no, I'm not going that way anymore. I'm not going down that road anymore. Have you ever started going down a path and say, you know, this is probably not a good idea to go down this path? And you turn around and come back? And you're glad you did? I remember when I was a kid driving down a road, it got muddier and muddier, and I thought, I should turn back. But I was kind of like the bear who wanted to see what was over on the other side of the mountain, amen? And, oh yeah, almost all night. Be careful. Be careful in your Christian life that you would walk with God. And when you feel that tinge to slow down or backslide, say, I'm not going to do that, because here's the deal. There's a great cost at backsliding. You never know how far it'll take you. And you don't ever know how much it's going to cost you. You want to be very careful that you don't go over. My uncle used to talk when he was flying, the point of no return. He said we'd be constantly watching. We were flying over. We came over the cliffs of Dover, and we're headed into Germany. And he said, "Boy, as a captain of that craft, he said, I was watching, always watching that fuel gauge, always watching that fuel gauge, always watching that fuel gauge, because he said I knew there was a point, and the navigator would say we're at the point of no return. Either you turn the ship back, or you're not going to make it. They didn't have them refuelers back in those days. Hey, don't get to the point of no return." Right now, you're not there because you're listening to the voice of a preacher. You're not there because you're listening to God. You can say, God, help me get back where I'm supposed to be. Does God forgive us? Absolutely. Does God? I was looking at a sermon. I was thinking about preaching on the second chance. The second chance God gives us. God is way more than second chancer. Amen. Time and time and time and time and time, God, he repented and said, come on home. I thank God for that. 1 John 1:9 is the greatest Bible verse in the scripture for me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Father in heaven, I pray you'd be with us tonight. Lord, I ask you to call the backsliders home. Holy Spirit of God, would you do great work? So many are pretending. So many are just doing things instead of really living the way they should. Some are playing with things. Some are touching things they should not be touching. They're thinking about things. They're going about and just trying to head out a little bit, just experimenting. Oh God, I pray that you'd help them to stop and turn back. Lord, until they get to that point of no return, that there's no telling how far it's going to take them, how much it's going to cost, or what it'll do to them. Speak to their hearts, Lord God. Heads about, eyes closed. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, there's some things in my heart, my life, I just got to be very careful about. God knows your heart. You know, we're about to have the Lord's Supper, and in the Lord's Supper, he says that we're to take heed to ourselves. We're to remember certain things, and that we're not to have a heart to be unclean to him when we take the Lord's Supper. I pray that you'd take this moment of silence tonight and take care of some of those things. Now, God, I pray you'd help us tonight. We're just a group of people that love you, and we've failed you many times. But we are also people that love you and want to serve you. Lord, forgive us where we failed you. Forgive us where we have gone to things that we should never even got into. Said some things we should never said. Thought about things we should never thought. Saw some things we should never saw. Lord God, would you please cleanse our hearts tonight by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for giving us that opportunity that we can come to a holy God and ask forgiveness, and you immediately forgive us. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask my...